When you're pregnant, you start reading about the cost of having a baby. When you start reading about the cost of having a baby, you learn about the cost of sending that baby to college and immediately start saving all your money in a 529 plan. When you save all your money in a 529 plan, you save no money in your 401k, thinking your son will get a business degree from Harvard and take care of you in retirement. When you think your son will take care of you in retirement, he changes majors and gets a degree in jazz studies. When he gets a degree in jazz studies, he moves back home with you and you have to support him. When you have to support him, you don't get to retire. Don't be forced to work through retirement to support your jazz-loving adult son. Stop investing without a plan and upgrade to Money Talks.
This is Money Talks.
We're back. I'm Troy Harmon here with Jennifer Thomas and Casey Smith, and we're talking about Magi, Maggie, the gift of the Magi.
Well, that's gonna make our next topic a little less exciting.
Well,
I'm not gonna lie.
Sorry, Casey, Mr. Excitement.
Way to steal the thunder.
I'll leave it to you, but we do have something to talk about beyond this, right?
We do.
Our modified adjusted gross income is not exciting to you.
And Medicare. Come on.
There you go.
Leave that part out. So our situation here, we've got Jose and Megan, 67 and 69, received advice from their tax preparer they should take steps to reduce their modified adjusted gross income. So we're going to have a little conversation here about what does that exactly mean and why. What are the benefits of reducing it, I guess? Basically, modified adjusted gross income is looked at a couple of different ways, depending on what you're trying to calculate it for. So a lot of times you have to add back certain items of income, foreign housing deductions, student loan deductions, IRA contribution deductions, et cetera, et cetera.
Did you just et cetera?
I did.
Financial.
I et cetera'd.
Oh, wow.
And
you said this was going to be exciting.
I'm getting there.
Okay, good.
Let me finish.
All right.
What's the biggest complaint, I guess, that I get from clients surrounding modified adjusted gross income is they call me up and say, about this time of year, too, hey, got a letter from Social Security. My payment has been reduced. And I'll say, well, what do you mean? Well, and then they read it off, and it's because their income has risen to a level, their modified adjusted gross income, to where their Medicare premiums have gone up. So just to give you an idea, for 2015, married filing joint, $170,000 in modified adjusted gross income or less, Medicare premium was the standard premium, $134 a month. Part D, there was no adjustment for Part D. So you paid $134, you got Part B, Part D. If your modified adjusted gross Maggie was $170 or less.
It's Maggie, not Magi?
I don't know. Some people say Magi. Okay. Tomato, tomato.
Okay. I was just wondering.
I prefer Maggie.
I know that play is on right now at Theater in the Square in Marietta, The Gift of the Magi. And I thought that's what we were going to talk about, but this is a lot more exciting. I'm glad we didn't go that way.
Well, we'll have to take a field trip to see the play.
Maybe
this is what it's about. I don't know.
It very well could be.
So starting at $170,000 to $214,000, it goes up, $50 or so. For 2016, so the way it works is they look at your they look 2 years back for your current year's Medicare premium. So for 2018, it'll be based on your 2016 Magi, modified adjusted gross income.
Thanks for appeasing me once again.
My pleasure. So one of the things that I noticed when looking at the table is they've adjusted the bracket. So if you made $214,000 in 2015, you were in the $267.90 Medicare premium bracket. That went from $214,000 to $320,000 in 2016. It went from $214,000 only to $267,000. So they reduced the level at which you hit the next bracket, which is $348.30.
So, but, a lot of this, what happens is, what we see with our clients, if the market's up like it is right now. Yep. Like, you know, we've had a really good year.
No doubt.
And so if we're selling things either because we feel like there's something better out there to be invested in, or just the sheer fact that a position's grown to a larger part than we would want them to hold, yeah, as part of their portfolio, right, then we are, you know, we sell those shares, and which causes capital gains, right?
God forbid we take capital gains.
So capital gains then is part of your income.
Yes.
So there are, you know, some things you can control, some things you can't control. So we'll talk about the things that you can control, which is like capital gains. If you know that it's close to the end of the year and you might want to sell a position, you can always wait and choose to do it in the following year.
Right. Then you might have the ability to manage that away,
right,
as the
mm-hmm.
year goes on.
You can also look to see if there are losses to take against gains, yeah, so that you can reduce down your gain exposure. But sometimes you just simply can't control it to a certain extent.
You might not want to let the tax impact
tax tail wag the dog.
Decision. Yes, exactly.
Right.
And we say that all the time, but I mean, it's a very valid point. So
yeah, the point of investing is to make money, right? And when you make money, you're probably going to have some taxes,
yeah,
here and there. You can manage the timing of,
right,
the tax, but ultimately we still believe it's a good idea to have an awesome portfolio, as awesome as you can have at any given time, right?
That's
absolutely
correct. And we don't want to see people overweighted in particular stocks, or, you know, or just holding on to something for the sheer, you know, that we don't necessarily think is going to do well.
Yeah, just to avoid
mm-hmm.
taxation.
Yeah.
Right.
The other thing that you can look at is, like in this case, you said he's 67, she's 69.
Yeah.
In our case study that we're looking at, they have about $4 million in retirement accounts. Next year, she will be 70, either next year or the following year, she's going to be 70 and a half.
Yeah. Then you can't start, you can't control your
correct
income.
Correct.
You
now they're making mandatory withdrawals. But prior to getting to that age, you know, one of the things that we do, especially if you're somebody who has very large retirement accounts, if you've retired and you have a period of time between your retirement date and when you have to take mandatory withdrawals, one of the things that you can do is pull some money out of your retirement accounts if your income's low enough,
yep,
to be getting it in lower tax brackets and to help with your modified adjusted gross income going forward.
Exactly.
I don't really know how to get back into this, Casey, so maybe you can help me out a little bit, but you did have a point or two more to make about the subject before we leave for other questions, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of bring out the point again. I mean, obviously, this has an impact on other areas besides Medicare premiums and Social Security, which we won't go into today, but there are benefits to reducing your modified adjusted gross income. So I don't want to play it off like it's completely that their tax preparer doesn't know what they're talking about, because there are definitely some benefits there. However, if you're looking at it from a Medicare premium standpoint, I just ran some quick numbers just to see. So if you were in the exact same AGI, for modified AGI rather, for 2015 and 2016, you know, the difference in cost on an annual basis between these two policies, between, if you were in that bracket that I was talking about that was split, the difference between, the two tiers is about $1,200 a year. If you were in the lowest bracket compared to the highest bracket, it's $4,400 a year. Now, that's not insignificant. That's real money. But your difference in income would be at least $85,000 on $4,400. So you're paying $4,400 more in Medicare premiums, but you had $85,000 more in income. That'd be if you're a single filer, you know, between $80,000 and $165,000. So just wanted to say it's like 5%. I mean, it's not
a
huge dollar amount when you consider that you've got that extra income
relative to the other income.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So if it's a capital gain standpoint, are you going to sacrifice, you know, $80,000 in capital gains so you don't have to pay an additional $4,000 in Medicare premiums? I wouldn't.
No, you know, but again, you can look at timing of things, and, you know, there are things that you can do to try to help your situation. Just be mindful of it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, you know, again, like if you're at the end of the year, it might not be the time that you want to take a gain if you're you know, if it's a week away from January 1st.
Yeah, and just trying to coordinate with your tax preparer, making sure that mm-hmm. they know what your gain situation is as you approach the end of the year.
Right.
So it's just a sort of an year-end planning idea, being in touch with your tax preparer and your financial planner and investment manager, make sure everybody's working in unison and on the same page.
Right, yeah. And kind of to follow on to that point, Jennifer, one of the good reasons that that we know it can be wise to kick that tax can down the road a little mm-hmm. bit is it's like this year. The S&P 500's up 20%, right? A little better than 20%. And still, about a quarter of the 500 companies, about 125 of the companies in that S&P 500 have negative returns.
Mm-hmm.
It also points to the reason that you diversify your portfolio. If you had owned just one or two of those companies, obviously you would have had a pretty foul year relative to the index. But again, you know, there's probably something in your portfolio in a given year that you can mm-hmm. trade to lower your tax situation if you have losses. And this is a great time of year to talk about that
right.
sort of thing, too. All right, well, let's take a real quick break, and we'll come back, answer some questions for those of you that sent them in. You're listening to Money Talk. Stick around.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.